In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, help me to make this time of prayer fruitful. As today we pray about our love for the priesthood, our prayer for priests who are so essential in our spiritual life. We base our prayer today on a homily I gave on celebrating the Golden Jubilee of my ordination to the priesthood in August of this year, 2017. And Lord, you are the first priest. You are the eternal high priest. And what is a priest? A mediator between God and man. And you are the perfect mediator, because you are both God and man. All priests base their priesthood on yours. You forgave sins. How often you did that. To show that you were truly God, you did miracles to accompany that forgiveness, healing that lame man that they lowered through the roof of that house, to show that you do have power to forgive sins, as does the priest. You instituted the seven sacraments, all of which are so important in our life, accompanying us from the beginning of our life in baptism through our life to the end with the anointing of the sick, to strengthen us for that final journey into eternal life. You taught us the truths of the faith, as the priest is called to be a teacher too. All of those truths that you as God wanted us to know, that would show us the way through life to eternity. Truths about our moral life, truths about the nature of God and the Trinity and what awaits us after death. Truths about man. All that you wanted us to know. You are the truth, as you yourself said, the way, the truth, and the life. You gave us the church, your mystical body, so that we would not be alone on our way through life to heaven. We would be accompanied by all the members of this church, and we would be one with you, members of your very body. And thank God for the church. Through the church we receive faith. We receive the sacraments. We are helped along our journey. Without the church, where would we be? You instituted the Eucharist. In the Last Supper, you gave the apostles your body and blood under the form of bread and wine. Take and eat, this is my body. Take and drink, this is the cup of my blood. The Eucharist, which makes you present to us, and how important that is, and the priest makes you present to us in the Mass. And you instituted the priesthood too in the Last Supper, when you told the apostles, do this in commemoration of me. You were giving them the power to do this, to change bread and wine into your body and blood, to make you present on earth. And then as high priest, you offered yourself as priest and victim on the altar of the cross. You were the priest who offered. You were the victim who were offered. that sacrifice of infinite value that redeemed us from our sins, that united us with the Father. You are truly priest, and especially there on the altar of the cross. And then you sent the apostles out, those first priests and bishops, to all nations, to continue your priesthood in all of those aspects, to make you present down the ages, to make the church present, to administer the sacraments down the ages, to teach in your name. The priest makes you present. And they, in turn, ordained other men priests by laying hands on them. And so the priesthood has arrived to our own day. And the priest today, the bishop today, can trace his ordination back in an unbroken line to you and the apostles, what we call apostolic succession. That laying on of hands down the ages is the guarantee that the priest is truly a priest, that when he says Mass, he is truly changing bread and wine into your body and blood, that when he forgives us our sins, what is loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. What a blessing to have you present down the ages in our priests. The priest does so much for us. Where would we be without priests? The priest makes you present in the Eucharist, in the Mass. He leaves you there in the tabernacle so that we can go to you when we are troubled, when we want to pray. Come to me, all you who labor and are overburdened. I will give you rest, because you are there in that tabernacle. The sanctuary lamp indicates your presence. A Catholic church, a chapel, is truly the house of God where you are truly present. How often we have found solace, rest, peace, inspiration by praying before you in that tabernacle where the priest left you. The priest offers the sacrifice of the Mass for us. And it is your action. It is your sacrifice on Calvary made present on the altar. It is that sacrifice of infinite value. Yes, someone might say, but I can pray to God on my own. Yes, but that would be that person's action, with the value of the sanctity or lack thereof of that person. But the Mass is not our action, it's yours. It is a sacrifice of infinite value. And when we want to pray for special intentions, we go to Mass. We put those intentions on the paten, or we ask the priest to celebrate the Mass for that intention, and then we know that intention is magnified because you are presenting it to the Father. And in the Mass, we receive you in Holy Communion, where we receive not only a piece of bread or blessed bread, but truly you, body and blood, soul and divinity. And as you said on speaking of the Eucharist in the synagogue of Capernaum, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood lives in me, and I in him. We become one with you. We have that true communion with you, that anticipation of heaven, which the Catechism of the Catholic Church describes as communion of life and love with the Blessed Trinity, the Blessed Virgin Mary, the angels, and all the saints. We are already in heaven when we receive communion, but we could not receive communion except for the fact that a priest has offered the Mass and brought about that real presence, that blessed sacrament. How fortunate we are. It is our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. We pray in the Our Father, and you give yourself to us as that daily bread in the Eucharist. And help us to value the Eucharist and to go to Mass as often as we can, to receive you daily if possible. It is the nourishment of our soul for that journey through life to heaven. As the Israelites had the manna in the desert for those 40 years before crossing the Jordan into the Promised Land, for us the Eucharist is that daily bread throughout our life until we cross the Jordan of death into the Promised Land of heaven, that nourishment of our soul. And then the priest forgives our sins. No man could do that. But you gave the priest the power to do that on Easter Sunday when you said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them. Whose sins you shall retain, they are retained." You gave them, those simple men, the power to forgive sins in your name. And what is loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. And what a relief when we go to confession, even if it be only with venial sins, to know that we are forgiven. Our soul is full of grace, helped now to live that better life. The priest is there to anoint us when we are seriously ill and in danger of death. And the comfort of that sacrament of the anointing, especially at the very end of our life, which strengthens us for that final journey into eternity. Where would we be without those sacraments? The priest, along with the deacon, baptizes us, assists at our marriage, teaches us the faith on behalf of the church with all of the formation that he has received. He comforts us when we are sick, when we are troubled. He comes in your name to be with us, to strengthen us in those difficult moments, especially when we are very sick and dying. Truly, the priest, Lord, makes you present. He is another Christ. He is ipse Christus. And that by his very baptism, and then especially through his anointing with the holy oil of chrism in the ordination to the priesthood. And so the Kyrie of ours, St. John Vianney, speaks so beautifully about what the priesthood means in his catechesis on the priesthood. He says, "My children, we have come to the sacrament of orders. It is a sacrament which seems to relate to no one among you, and which yet relates to everyone. This sacrament raises man up to God. What is a priest? A man who holds the place of God, a man who is invested with all the powers of God. Go, said our Lord to the priest, as my Father sent me, I send you. All power has been given me in heaven and on earth. Go then, teach all nations. He who listens to you, listens to me. He who despises you, despises me." When the priest remits sins, he does not say, "God pardons you." He says, "I absolve you." At the consecration, he does not say, "This is the body of our Lord." He says, "This is my body." And Lord, we can pause here and consider that the priest is acting in your person, in persona Christi, when he celebrates Mass. And so he does not say, "This is the body of the Lord. It's my body." Because he is speaking through you, or you are speaking through him. And the Kyrie of ours goes on. Saint Bernard tells us that everything has come to us through Mary. And we may also say that everything has come to us through the priest. Yes, all happiness, all graces, all heavenly gifts. If we had not the sacrament of orders, we should not have our Lord. Who placed him there in that tabernacle? It was the priest. Who was it that received your soul on its entrance into life? The priest. Who nourishes it to give it strength to make its pilgrimage? The priest. Who will prepare it to appear before God by washing that soul for the last time in the blood of Christ? The priest. Always the priest. And if that soul comes to the point of death, who will raise it up? Who will restore it to calmness and peace? Again, the priest. You cannot recall one single blessing from God without finding side by side with this recollection the image of the priest. And Lord, it's so true. All those graces, all of those blessings that you want us to have come ultimately from the priest. And the cure goes on, go to confession to the Blessed Virgin or to an angel. Will they absolve you? No. Will they give you the body and blood of our Lord? No. The Holy Virgin cannot make her divine Son descend into the host. You might have 200 angels there, but they could not absolve you. A priest, however simple he may be, can do it. He can say to you, go in peace, I pardon you. Oh, how great is a priest! The priest will not understand the greatness of his office till he is in heaven. If he understood it on earth, he would die, not of fear, but of love. The greatness of the priest, the greatness of his office, and Lord, help us to appreciate that and to give thanks to you for giving us the priesthood and for giving us these particular priests that minister to us. Thank God for them. The other benefits of God, the Kyrie goes on, would be of no avail to us without the priest. What would be the use of a house full of gold if you had nobody to open you the door? The priest has the key of the heavenly treasures. It is he who opens the door. He is the steward of the good God, the distributor of his wealth. Without the priest, the death and passion of our Lord would be of no avail. Look at the heathens. What has it availed them that our Lord has died? Alas, they can have no share in the blessings of redemption, while they have no priests to apply his blood to their souls. The priest is not a priest for himself. He does not give himself absolution. He does not administer the sacraments to himself. He is not for himself. He is for you. After God, the priest is everything. Leave a parish 20 years without priests. They will worship beasts. If the missionary father and I were to go away, you would say, what can we do in this church? There is no mass. Our Lord is no longer there. We may as well pray at home. When people wish to destroy religion, they begin by attacking the priest, because where there is no longer any priest, there is no sacrifice, and where there is no longer any sacrifice, there is no religion. And Lord, again we pause and consider the truth of what the Kyrie said in the 19th century, how true today in the 21st. When people wish to destroy religion, they begin by attacking the priest. And Satan wants to destroy religion, the worship of you, and he attacks the priest and leads so many of them into those terrible sins. Always few priests that do that. Few. Very few in comparison with the multitude, but those few get so much publicity, and people are turned off at times, the priesthood or the church, because of those few. Satan has a field day, unfortunately. He wants to destroy religion. He attacks the priest. And the curate goes on, when the bell calls you to church, if you were asked, where are you going? You might answer, I'm going to feed my soul. If someone were to ask you, pointing to the tabernacle, what is that golden door? That is our storehouse, where the true food of our souls is kept. Who has the key? Who lays in the provisions? Who makes ready the feast? And who serves the table? The priest. And what is the food? The precious body and blood of our Lord. O God, O God, how thou hast loved us. See the power of the priest. Out of a piece of bread, the word of a priest makes a god. It is more than creating the world. Someone said, does Saint Philomena then obey the curé of ours? Indeed, she may well obey him, since God obeys him. God who becomes present in that bread when the priest pronounces the words of consecration. And the curé continues, if I were to meet a priest and an angel, I should salute the priest before I saluted the angel. The latter is the friend of God, but the priest holds his place. Saint Teresa kissed the ground where a priest had passed. When you see a priest, you should say, there is he who made me a child of God and opened heaven to me by holy baptism. He who purified me after I had sinned, who gives nourishment to my soul. At the sight of a church tower, you may say, what is there in that place? The body of our Lord. Why is he there? Because a priest has been there and has said Holy Mass. And St. John Vianney concludes, what joy did the apostles feel after the resurrection of our Lord at seeing the Master whom they had loved so much? The priest must feel the same joy at seeing our Lord whom he holds in his hands. Great value is attached to objects which have been laid in the drinking cup of the Blessed Virgin and of the child Jesus at Loreto. But the fingers of the priest that have touched the adorable flesh of Jesus Christ, that have been plunged into the chalice which contained his blood, into the pyx where his body has lain, are they not still more precious? The priesthood is the love of the heart of Jesus. When you see the priest, think of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, that beautiful description, the priesthood is the love of the heart of Jesus. And truly, you are present through that priest, and all of your gifts and blessings come through him. And we thank you for giving us priests. And sometimes people say, ah, but Father, in my parish, we have a priest from another country, and he has an accent, and it's difficult to understand him. Yes, but we have the Mass. If we didn't have that priest, we wouldn't have the Mass. We wouldn't have the absolution of our sins. Let us give thanks to God for any priest, young, old, from this country or that. He is a priest. Always the same priesthood of Jesus Christ, making Christ present for us. And St. John Paul II, in his book Gift and Mystery, written on the occasion of his golden jubilee of ordination to the priesthood, says, if we take a close look at what contemporary men and women expect from priests, we will see that in the end they have but one great expectation. They are thirsting for Christ. Everything else, their economic, social, and political needs, can be met by any number of other people. From the priest, they ask for Christ, and from him they have the right to receive Christ, above all through the proclamation of the Word. As the Council teaches, Priests have as their primary duty the proclamation of the gospel of God to all. But this proclamation seeks to have man encounter Jesus, especially in the mystery of the Eucharist, the living heart of the Church, and a priestly life. The priest has a mysterious, awesome power over the Eucharistic body of Christ. By reason of this power, he becomes the steward of the greatest treasure of the redemption, for he gives people the Redeemer in person. Celebrating the Eucharist is the most sublime and most sacred function of every priest. As for me, from the very first years of my priesthood, the celebration of the Eucharist has been not only my most sacred duty, but above all, my soul's deepest need. And Lord, we thank you for the priesthood of St. John Paul II. What a marvelous witness he was to your priesthood. What a love for the priesthood. What a love for the Mass he had. Help priests today to be more like him. And we pray for all priests. All priests. They make you present. St. John Paul II goes on in his book, Gift and Mystery. Constantly in contact with the holiness of God, the priest must himself become holy. His very ministry commits him to a way of life inspired by the radicalism of the gospel. While the Second Vatican Council speaks of the universal call to holiness, in the case of the priest, we must speak of a special call to holiness. Christ needs holy priests. Today's world demands holy priests. Only a holy priest can become, in an increasingly secularized world, a resounding witness to Christ and his gospel. And only thus can a priest become a guide for men and women and a teacher of holiness. People, especially the young, are looking for such guides. A priest can be a guide and teacher only to the extent that he becomes an authentic witness. And Lord, we pray that you will grant priests that gift of holiness and help them to struggle for holiness. In this secularized world, we need holy priests, because priests too are frail. They are human. They make mistakes. And in his letter to priests in 2000, signed in the upper room in Jerusalem, St. John Paul II wrote, "It is true that in the history of the priesthood, no less than in the history of the whole people of God, the dark presence of sin is also found. Many times the human frailty of priests has made it hard to see in them the face of Christ. Here in the upper room, why should this amaze us? Not only did the betrayal of Judas reach its climax here, but Peter himself had to reckon with his weakness as he heard the bitter prediction of his denial. In choosing men like the 12, Christ was certainly under no illusions. It was upon this human weakness that he set the sacramental seal of his presence. And Paul shows us why. We bear this treasure in earthen vessels, so that it might be clear that this extraordinary power comes from God and not from us." And Lord, priests are frail. They are human. They make mistakes. And that's why we pray especially for them to be not only holy, but faithful until the end. We pray for seminarians, those young men preparing to be priests, that they may go through to ordination. The Church needs those priests so badly today. We pray for young men considering the possibility of a priestly vocation, that they may be open to your word, to your light, that they may pray, "Lord, that I may see." what my vocation is, and that they may have the generosity and the courage, the love, to answer that call. And we pray for families, because it is in the bosom of the family that the priestly vocation, indeed all vocations, are nurtured. That there be holy parents, families where there is prayer, where they attend Mass and receive the sacraments, where virtues are taught. That is the seedbed of the vocation. The family is so important. And Lord, we give thanks for the priesthood at the same time as we pray for all priests and seminarians and young men considering the priesthood and all families. And we go to Our Lady, Mother of the priest. Mary, you brought Christ the priest into the world. You nourished him, you clothed him, you looked after him throughout his hidden life in the family of Nazareth. You prayed for him during his public life, and you were there when he exercised his priesthood to the supreme degree at Calvary. Help all priests to be holy, to be faithful. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.